If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going through the book of Romans. It is beating me up because it's hard. All right. Book of Romans. That's going to lead us into Easter. So I'm really excited about that as well. So Romans chapter 1, continuing verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. You guys ready? What I have in my hand, it's a manual. A manual. It's a 2008 Ford Expedition. That, it's my car. This is the manual for my car. In this manual, tire care. If something is wrong with my tire, I would turn to tire care. Periodically inspect the tire treads to make sure or excessive wear and tear. Tire maintenance. Flip a little couple of pages later, cleaning. They even have instruction on to clean the outside of your car. Wash your vehicle regularly. Haven't done that in a couple years. I mean, it's a 2008 Ford Expedition. I'm not spending time washing it, okay? It's going. But driving. Here, this is a good one, right? Driving. Asian people, specifically for Asian people. No, I'm just kidding. We're not bad drivers. Come on now. Driving on hill or slop side of terrain. Driving in snow. All kinds of a manual. A manual for my car. So anything happens with my car, I bring it in. And my mechanic, if he can't identify the problems, then he will go to the manual to find out specific parts. Every 3,000 miles, I need an oil change. And my mechanic will know exactly what kind of oil my 2008 Ford Expedition will take. A manual. What I have in my other hand, it's also a manual. It answers life's toughest questions, like where do we come from? How do I get here? What is the purpose of my life? What are the situations in my life and how do I deal with it? A manual. Where am I going to end up? Is there more to life than this? A manual for my Ford Expedition? A manual for my life? What's going to happen to me when I'm run down, broken, tired, confused, or conflicted? I go back to the manual that my Creator left for me. When I need an oil change, a tune-up, or a repair, which I need a lot, I go back to the manual. And before I go anywhere else, like some of us oftentimes do, or culture, popular counselors or opinions, celebrities or Instagram influencers, that is not the manual. This is the manual. And what is the manual telling me? Continue in Romans chapter 1. This sermon series is really hard. It kicks my butt. Continue from last week. Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppresses the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, which covers everything about life's questions, right? His invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Here's an old saying that sometimes you guys would say to your children, it is what it is. Sometimes in life, it is what it is. Whether we are young in our faith, where we are mature in our faith, where we're questioning about faith, where we believe in the Bible, we don't believe in the Bible, if we believe this as the entire Word of God or not, the answer from God to us is still, it is what it is. This is the manual from God. Whether we disagree with it or agree with it wholeheartedly or partially, the answer is still, it is what it is. A new study suggests that there are around 700 quintillion. I can't even fathom the number. 700 quintillion planets in the universe, but only one, like Earth. It's a revelation, and I quote, that both beautiful and terrifying at the same time by discovery.com. We often ask questions. What if the Earth was a little bit further away from the sun? What if the Earth was a little bit closer? What if it tilts this way a little bit more or that way a little bit more? What if it spins a little faster or a little slower? What will happen? Well, we have answers for that. Look at Mars. It's no life. Look at Saturn. There's no life. Look at the moon. There's nothing there. The Earth is uniquely created and made by God for its purpose. Too far, too hot. Too close, too hot. Too far, too cold. Spins too fast, nothing. Spins too slow, nothing. Well, what about the origin of man? Did we evolve? Did we just come out of a tadpole and we grow arms and legs and we begin to speak? What's the best answer we can come up with? Well, what if I can tell you that we evolved from billions and billions and billions of years and just accept that as it is? Billions of years, that's it. Well, that's a figurative number. And the reason we come up with figurative numbers is because we don't have the answers. And if I can come up with a figurative number and to share with you, then I don't have to have a definitive answer for your questions. Just billions of years, we evolved. That's it. But we do have the answer, the manual God left for us. The first five books of the Bible was written by Moses. And it makes perfect sense why it was written by Moses. Because for 430 years, they were in Egypt. They were slaves. The Hebrew people were losing their identity. Literally. They'd lost records. Oral traditions was beginning to miss in translation with the Egyptians. So God called them to leave Egypt. And he says, you're going to march into the land of Canaan. And then when they march into the land of Canaan, they were asking questions. Who are you? Where did you come from? And they see the land of Canaan was full of sins. They were taking babies and sacrificing them up in the mountains. And the Hebrew people would go to them and say, no, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created mankind in his own image. This is what they were saying to the Canaan people, but at the same time, it was telling to their own people so they won't forget where they came from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the skies and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So God created everything, days and nights and skies and trees and animals. And skip all the way down to verse 29. Then God says, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the skies and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. So God's instruction for us was pretty simple. Make babies and have a mean medium steak. It's in the manual. It's in the manual for you and I. God created the male and females. He created them. It is what it is. So what happened? That, it's also in the manual. What happened? Satan comes along and lies and convinces us that it is, it's actually not what it is. There's something else. You can disobey God. So he whispered in the ears of Eve and said, you can disobey God. It's not what it is. It's something else. You know, that's not completely true. I'm going to give you a different picture. And he continues to lie and he says, it's not what it is. And Romans chapter 1 illustrate what that is. Although, continuing, for they knew God, they neither glorify him as God or gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human. Human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desire of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their error. This was written 2,000 years ago, maybe more. What you're dealing with today in culture, it's not different. You just happen to be living in it. This was written 2,000 years ago. And here's the cool part. Well, not really cool, but 2,000 years before this, the book of Romans, right? Genesis chapter 19. Listen to this. Lot and his family was traveling, and they were traveling through a town. And they were staying at a guest house. And this is what happened. But he finished so strongly that they did go with him and enter his house. So this one man was convincing Lot and his family, come stay with us. We're going to give you dinner. We're going to make you food. We're going to treat you well. We're going to give you a place to stay for free. And we're going to provide everything. So he was so convincing that Lot decided to stay with the man. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. That little side note here, my Bible geek mind is coming in, right? He baked bread without yeast. In other words, he was trying to butter him up or be friends with him on purpose because he knew the Hebrew people can't eat bread without yeast. So they were pretending to be friends, like being nice. They were buying him in. So he baked bread without yeast. So they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came with you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. This was written 2,000 years before the book of Romans. And the book of Romans repeated it. So for generations and generations and years and years and years, people continued to rebel against God, believing in the lies of Satan. We think we're living in this really hard struggle times more than ever than in history of humanity. It's not true. It's always been like this. We just happen to be living in it because Satan flipped the script, the manual. Whispers in the ears of Eve, and then continues the whispers in the ears of our forefathers, and whispers in your ears, you can disobey God. Because it is what it is, but it's really not what it is. And then Jesus says the same thing. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Spiritual warfare, it's real. it's in the manual. The real enemy is not drug, alcohol, sex, and rock and roll, or sexual orientations or gender identity. The real enemy is Satan. And he has stolen our true selves, our true identity, that we actually belongs to God. And he kills, steals, and destroys the truth of God in you and me in our society. And Paul repeated it in Romans. He says, they exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. Humanity has bought into the lies of the tempter, of the liar. The Bible talks about he's the chief of all lies. He whispered in our ears and the ears of our social medias and Instagrams and whatever that we're on and said, this is what it should really look like, man. This is not what it is. You should follow this instead. He flipped the script. He gives us a different manual. And his manual might be hard copy, fully decorated, nicely written, with self-help, accepting who you are, non-threatening to society. Love is love, the big slogan. But it's not God's manual. It's a fake. It's a fraud. When a teenager is so confused about their identity that they take their own life, and our solution is to publish more books and put in their hands. Adolescents, to teach them that they can choose whatever identity they want. That is the work of a liar. It's not God's manual. We exchange the truth about God and our origins. We give adults freedom to children. We give adult freedom to children who can't even tie their stinking shoes. But they get to choose what sexual orientation they want? That's a lie from Satan, because we have the manual. We exchange the truth about God, our origin. And you know, the sad part is usually the Bible, the church, or Christians, God's people, are seen as the one who's to blame for the problem. Right? Like we're the one to blame for the problem. As if like we don't have a voice. Maybe the argument just seems a little bit one-sided sometimes, huh? Satan whispers into the ears of our generations, changing it is what it is to it's not what it is. You can do this instead. And then as the church begin to teach and preach and share the actual truth manual, a truth will shows up and it exerts itself and start to begin to infiltrate into society, making the wicked feels uneasy. So the wicked will team up with more wickedness to support each other, drowning out the voice of truth and teaming up with more wickedness to justify their own wickedness. Here's the good news, and we can be confident in this, and it's also written in Romans, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. That is good news. Satan is not the judge. That is good news. God is. The wrath is going to be revealed from heaven, that God is the ultimate judge. In verse 24, it says, therefore, God gave them over into their sinful desires of their hearts. He allows us to choose. And if we lean into the lies of Satan, follows our own desires and worship created things over the one who created it all, God let us have it all. He says, I can't stop you. Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging, is it, Pastor New? Actually, it is. It is very encouraging because the judge is God, not Satan. And why is that encouraging? Because the manual offers me hope and forgiveness.
Because God is the ultimate judge. And the ultimate judge already offered forgiveness. Kind of like when I go in to get my oil change, my mechanic knows exactly what kind of oil I need for my car. And I have confidence in that. I have a confession to make. It was a hard week. I felt like I was unworthy to preach the good news. I got in an argument with my wife. We didn't talk to each other for 2 days. 2 days we didn't say a word to each other. I hated myself because I didn't want my sons to see me being angry. I let anger took a hold of me. I drove up and down A1A at 1 o'clock in the morning, just praying and listening to worship music. I drove at like 10 miles an hour, passing every cop known to man on A1A. I hoped they would just pull me over. Like, I wanted something bad to happen because I was so angry. On Thursday, I didn't even bother coming to my office. I feel so unworthy. I text our elders. I said, I might need someone to preach with me Sunday. I came in here to church. I didn't go in my office because that's a sacred task. You walk into my office, it's the coffee mugs of people's lives that has been changed. And I see that, my Bible's on my desk, and the cards that I pray over every single day, and the prayer request cards. And so it's a sacred task. So I feel unworthy to walk in there. Satan has got a hold of my anger, and he heightened it, and he says, "No, you are not good enough. You can't do this." I cried like a little baby to Gary and to Eric on the phone. I was thinking going to apply for a job because I don't think I was going to preach this Sunday. The weight is too heavy. The burden is too much. And if you knew who this little girl is who sings that song right here, the song would sound a little different for you. After college, she didn't know where to go. She packed up her bag. She says, "I'm moving to India because I want to live among the people and I want to preach the gospel to the orphans in India." I'm so proud of you. She wants to serve God. But I reminded the lies of Satan that if I quit, that's what he wants. Then he'll win. If I quit, he wins. The gospel must be preached. This is not a hard book to go, not an easy book to go through, especially in the landscape of our society. If I don't preach, he wins. And I reminded myself of the work of Jesus Christ. It's not what it is. Well, it is what it is. And Satan lies, it's not what it is. But the answer in our lives is it is Jesus. Amen? God offers forgiveness and we choose not to be forgiven. I lost 2 days of writing sermons. I couldn't write. I went into the back room just removing the entire floor and carpet, even glue. Just by myself in there with Tom came and helped too as well. I drag him into it. I faked him. I say, "Come to party." He's like, "There's a party?" "Yeah, grab a shovel." So Tom came, a couple guys came and helped. We're digging away, and the good news is Liz and I worked it out. We sat down, we talked. Friday night. Worked on my sermon yesterday. And it's amazing when God is, when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, right? It just flows, it just goes. Right? It's just like, this is what I'm going to preach on. And it reminds me of Jesus. It is Jesus. Because God offers forgiveness in the manual, and I know that already. Apologize. We sat down, we talked, we worked out our problems because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Here's the stupid part, right? The solution to our problem is that we just need to clean more. That's what we fight about. The dishes needs to be clean. Of all the things that's happening in our world, the worst problem that Liz and I go through is we don't do the dishes. We didn't talk to each other for 2 days because of dishes. But you see how the work of Satan works. It doesn't matter how big the problem is. When he gets a hold of your anger, your weakness, he drives that. And he drives that. And he drives that. And I got angry. And my sinful self, I told this, I said, the reason I didn't talk to you for 2 days, because I hated myself for what my son saw in me, that I got angry at them. That's what I was angry about. I wasn't angry at Liz. I was angry because I didn't like the way my son saw me. I felt unworthy to lead. And that's what Satan wants, that you're not good enough to lead. So Romans chapter 2, Paul went through and explains all kinds of sins that the world's going through. And as truthful he was being, he says this, Romans chapter 2, verse 8, God will repay each person to what they have done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immorality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentiles, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jews, then for the Gentiles, for God does not show favoritism. This manual here is not about condemnation. It's not God looking down on you and say you're not good enough. No, this manual is offering hope and peace, that you are loved, that you are forgiven. This manual offers me grace and forgiveness. There's this unconditional love from God to us. It's written down in here. And restoring us to our origin of conditions, where he says God created us in his own image. The origin of my life, my identity, and where I belong, it is written in here, the manual. God has already offered us forgiveness. It is Jesus. Before we even make it to the judgment seat. And that is the good news. That I already know I am forgiven before I even died. And make it to judgment day. I'm already forgiven, and that's in here. When this letter was written to the Romans, Jesus and Caesar was rivals. Historians wrote this. The emperor of Rome was already the most powerful human being or powerful man on earth. But that wasn't enough. This is what historian wrote down about the Roman emperor, Caesar. Augustus wanted a piece of heaven too. He was determined that his people would see him as their supreme spiritual leader. This is who Jesus was going up against. There's rivalries. If Jesus never showed up and Roman world would continue his trajectory, then Satan won. God would have a different plan. But if that was the case, then none of this would have came true. That's what made Christianity so powerful. Just at the right time, God did what he did, right? So if the Roman emperor would have continued his own trajectory, then this whole Bible would have been irrelevant. But just at the right time, Jesus was rivals with Rome, and he was crucified on the cross. And then I've envisioned this, right? Like, when I thought about going getting a job on Thursday, because I feel so unworthy. The same feeling of Satan must have been celebrating when he saw Jesus on the cross, right? I won. The Son of God is dead. But we know the ending, don't we, church? 3 days later, forgiveness and restoration to God was reborn out of a tomb. Amen? And Jesus himself says this, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. And that's the promise from God. And in Romans chapter 2, Paul repeated this very saying, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles, for God does not show favoritism. And that I say, amen, amen, amen. Satan might have whispered into your ears and convinced you that, you know, it is what it is. It's really not what it is. But the manual tells me it is Jesus. It's what offers hope and forgiveness. There are people that you know, and there are people that I know who struggles with this subject. Sexual orientation or the way society is going. Or maybe they may be truly struggling who they are. And we have several people come to my office. I can't help it. I can't help it. And I sympathize with that. And it's a very lonely place to be. And I'll never understand it. And most of us will never understand it. But I can tell how lonely they are to feel that way. And it's a lonely place to be. But I can say this. Grace is not cheap. Grace is not cheap. And God does not show favoritism. His forgiveness to me and his forgiveness to you is the same. And I hope you find that in God. But I understand it is a very lonely place to be. God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ is the same for everybody. Amen. Whether I like it or not, and sometimes I don't like it, truth to be told, but it is what it is. It's God's manual for our lives. When I'm down, needs an oil change, I need to go here. Not anywhere else. Because this is going to tell me how to fix it. It's the manual for your life and I. Amen? As the band come forward. Our elder's going to be up here to pray with you. If you have something going on in your life, our elders are real, and I follow that as well. When I have a problem, I let my elders know to pray for you. And the book of James says, if you have anything going on in your life, let the elders of the church know so they can pray for you. It's God's instituted command for us to follow. So our elder's going to be up here. You have anything going on in your life that you need prayer for? Is they here to receive you? But if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to be over there on the side. Meet me there, and we'll take you in the back. We have clothes you can change into, and we have a baptistry right here. Might be a little cold today, but I'll go with you, okay? I'll go with you. I'm willing to go the distance with you. But if you want to get baptized today, meet me over there. But elders up here to be praying for you. If you're visiting with us for the first time, know that we're about Jesus, and that's it. That Jesus saves. He saves you, and he saves me. And the world might not understand it. And they might look at you as like, you're some mean person for following the Bible. It is what it is. I still love you. I still love them. Love anyone who comes in my path. I coach girls basketball. And you know how the sports world is. With sexual orientation, and it's hard, and it's hard. I still love him the same. Because God's forgiveness shows no favoritism. And he's offering forgiveness to you this morning. Whatever mistakes you made in the past or the future, his forgiveness is the same.